iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iSpirituality Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and today we're joined once again by Drucha Thralia in our continuing series of looking at the Hindu religion and how it affects our lives in many different ways. In our previous program we talked about the worship of plants, which is most intriguing. But a little bit of background about Dru first of all. Drucha Thralia is an author of 21 books on Hinduism and he has given 300 public talks of over 350 hours between them on the Bhagavad Gita, Hanuman Chalisa, Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavat, Upanishads and the Vedas as well. Yoga and meditation that are watched in over 161 countries around the world with over 400,000 views on YouTube and over 340,000 fans on Facebook. And he's also working, in the time that he has, as an international mergers and acquisitions lawyer at a US headquartered law firm based in the City of London. We managed to persuade Drew to take some time out of his busy schedule to come talk with us right here on iGlobal Radio. Drew, a very warm welcome to you and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tony, for the kind introduction and delighted to be here with you and your amazing personality and so pleased to always join you on these occasions.
Thank you very much indeed. It's a pleasure to always talk with you as well. You're such a mind of information. We always end up taking so much away from what you share with us. Today we're going to be talking about Goraksha. And Goraksha is the worship of cows in Indian culture. Now, we've seen it, we've understood it to a certain degree, but not enough. And there's been a lot of news and media coverage over the years as well. And people often think that, well, we're into the in the Asian Eastern world, and cows are allowed to roam freely in the streets. And there's been a lot of controversy surrounding that. But there is a spiritual and religious aspect to this. So I wanted to ask you the background to that, if you would, Drew, and share your insights on that with us.
Thank you so much, Tony, for this beautiful question. So in the Indian culture and traditions, the divine is there in every animal. Every single one of our gods and our deities have a form of animal, like Goddess Durga has a lion or the tiger. Lord Shiva has Nandi, the buffalo. And you have Lord Krishna, who's depicted with cows. So the divine is every animal, but our rishis have told us to worship cows. So the cow is a representative of animals and the animals that we regard as the divine. Research is being done on cows. And the nephew of a very famous Indian political leader who I'll not name met me once and he said he was doing some research on cows. And I've never seen a person that loves cows as much as him in my life. And he has so much love for cows. Maybe he didn't even love his sons as much as he loved cows. And he did this by knowing about them intellectually and not by blind faith. So much research about cows. And he researched why our rishis have regarded cows as pure. And if you look at the horns of cows, then you see an Omkar, the shape of an Om.
Yes.
No other animal's horns are like that. So when the horns of a cow bend and they come together, you'll see an Omkar. Not only that, the cow's horns are very pointed. It says that cows gather strength and a cow's horns have a lot of strength in them. And a cow's horns work like an antenna. So they gather strength and positive vibrations from the world. And if you look at a cow's hump, not a Jersey cow, but a natural cow, mostly found in India and the Indian subcontinent, then you see that they're the shape of a shivling. And these things have been confirmed by research. So the energy that the cow gets from the atmosphere into this hump is of the shape of a shivling, is then multiplied by 1,000 times through vibrations. You see this in the dome of a temple. In the temples built in olden days with the correct type of domes, if you went inside and chanted Om, then you keep hearing the sound in constant echoes.
That's right,
Om,
yes, yeah.
Om, Om. So these vibrations multiply in the same way the energy that the cow gets from the atmosphere into this hump multiplies several times. So the hoof of the cow is a non-conductor of electricity, and therefore this energy that's picked up stays inside without being wasted in the ground and without being earthed. Therefore, the energy is saved inside the cow. However, this energy comes out, there's only three ways. It's a cow's milk, a cow's urine and a cow dung. So our rishis regarded cow's milk, cow's urine, and cow's excrement as pure. They didn't say the same thing for any other animal. There's so many other animals nearby, for example, dogs, cats, mice, any other animal. Why did they just say this for cows? There's a reason for this, and scientists have tested this in the laboratories, that cows fulfill any desire. There's research going on about cows all over the world, but worship of cows is not blind faith or fanaticism. There's a big science behind it. But yeah, I sidetrack a bit, but it was necessary. So the divine resides in all animals, but we worship cows as their representative.
So the worship of cows is something that's been around for many, many centuries. And as we learn to understand it more, there were various petitions also, I understand, and I'm going to go off the beaten track as well now, various petitions about Gauraksha considering cow as perhaps, what can I say, as a protected natural animal in India. But there was opposition to that as well at the same time, perhaps even from the Western world. What's the significance of that, Drew?
Yeah, so in today's times, the importance of Gauraksha, which is the devotion, protection to service, to looking after cows, is increasing so much. So the whole species of cows are being attacked. Many times when I meet social workers and hear stories, then I experience a shock in my heart that in the country where the incarnation of Sri Krishna served cows, in that same country today, thousands of cows are killed every day. India is the largest exporter of beef in the world. And if this constantly continues, then these people say that in no more than 15 years, we'll see cows only in a zoo in India. And I kid you not, we've seen that with rhinos in Africa. Yes. We'll see that with cows in India. We'll only see them in a zoo. And this is the state we're in now. And these people are so short-sighted that they look at the money they would get by exporting it. The cow, one cannot tell what will happen in the future, that the activities that the government is doing, it's written in words in books, the activities of the government is that if a cow or bull is handicapped, then it can be sent to a slaughterhouse. Therefore, these people kill normal cows and say that it's handicapped. Who would go to see if its feet have been broken and what has happened? So the whole Indian culture was based in cows. Cows are necessary animals from an economic perspective, but cows have many qualities from a spiritual perspective. I once read a poem a very long time ago, and I've written it down in my diary about how selfish human beings are. It says that, "Hey, Gau Mata, ame taru dud piye che, ame tara jamrana chora banave che, ame tara mons ki nikas kare che, ame tara hatka thi batan banave che, par हे गौ माता हमने एक बात नो अफसोस से कि तारी कतल करते वक्त त्यारे तुम्हारे मोटा माथी चीस निकरे ए चीस ने हमें कोई उपयोग करी सकता नहीं, which translated from Gujarat to English is, oh mother cow, we drink your milk, we make shoes with your skin, we export your body as meat, we make buttons with your bones, but oh mother cow, we regret one thing, that we cannot make any use of the scream that comes out of your mouth after we kill you. So it's so inhumane. And people have really, really stooped to that such a low level. It's really, really shocking, and it's very, very distressing.
It is indeed. It's distressing hearing about that as well.
Log on to iglobalnews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iglobalnews.com. What is then needed then? What's important, Drew, to protect cows and continue the importance of them as far as the culture is concerned? We need to, of course, it's important to protect them, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly right. When UN studies were done, it showed that the biggest contributor of pollution and the rising ozone levels and all the environmental degradation is the eating of beef. So definitely the government and the UN need to pass resolutions and legislations to protect cows and to prevent people eating them. There's a lot more awareness arising in the West nowadays of veganism and vegetarianism, is because it's not just the killing of cows, but also the way cows are milked is very inhumane. So like the cows have always been part of the, not just Indian traditions, but rural traditions for a long, long time. So the government needs to pass legislation. We need to also, the government can't do everything. We as human beings need to be creating, as you said, those cow protection centers where cows are nurtured. There's some beautiful organizations out there that are doing amazing service and growing cows and letting them roam freely and letting them be nurtured. So supporting those organizations through both our time and our donations as well. There's nothing more you can give more important than your own time in doing cow protection and also recovering cows that have been smuggled, recovering cows that have been badly damaged and hurt, and rehabilitating them and looking after them is very, very important. That takes time and resources and organization. It's very, very important.
We are talking with Drucha Thralia, and today we're talking about the importance of what is known as Gauraksha, the worship of cows in Indian culture. We've discussed the worship of cows, why is it important to protect cows, and Drew also went into the significance of the horns as well as the hump of cows as well. Drew, I'd like to ask you about being pure in our lives and how do cows bring purity in our lives? Because from my understanding, in terms of purity, living a life of purity starts with the word of God, because we don't know what is right and what is wrong unless we study God's word. And we cry out for the Lord and God to teach us their ways so we can live according to God's truth with purity of heart and what that honors God as well. But with that, we also need to understand that the purity that cows bring to our lives is also a very important aspect of our day-to-day lives. Given the fact and the history that you've just shared with us and people's thinking on how we actually treat animals, in particular cows, for all sorts of reasons, what about purity?
Yes. So in the body of a cow, there resides 33 million DTs, and that's the reality. If you look at a Indian cow, then its hump is a shape of the dome. I touched on that earlier, but the scriptures knew that the pyramid theory a long time ago, that's why the temples are built with domes. And as it's the characteristic of the dome, that energy comes inside it, amplifies and multiplies the energy from echoes. And so, yeah, it's energy that multiplies endlessly. Just like if you put two mirrors opposite each other, then you see endless amount of reflections. In the same way, this energy multiplies manifold. The mummies that were put in pyramids in ancient Egypt haven't disintegrated after a thousand years, despite being dead for the period, and they remain just the way they are. So 2 or 3 days after death, the body disintegrates. Yet these mummies haven't disintegrated for thousands of years, firstly, because medicines were applied to them, and secondly, because this energy has been maintained. It keeps the body intact. It stops the disintegrating process of the body. That's energies in the hump of a cow, and scientists have proved that the nutrients from the grass that the cow consumes are maintained as energy in its body. And as a result, the cow urine and cow feces are accepted as a medicine. But more specifically to your question, why no animal has been given this much importance? There's so many animals that were moving around in villages. There were goats, dogs. But why are cows regarded as spiritually purifying? There's so many plants, but why did the rishis say that we should put the tulsi plant in our courtyards? One should definitely, as you said, have that shraddha, the faith in the intellect of the rishis. There's a splendor and a radiance residing in the milk of the Indian cows. Jersey cows give more milk in quantity, but Jersey cows are very angry by nature. All of this has been researched. So Jersey cows are very angry by nature, and they don't let people get milk very quickly. So the milk of Jersey cows are better than the milk of buffaloes, because at the end of the day, they're cows. But those people who drink the milk of Jersey cows become angry by nature. On the other hand, the milk of Indian cows is of the mode of sattva, which is known as the mode of goodness. They're peaceful and they're representations of sweetness. And saints love cows. I have a lot of adorations and feelings for a saint called Pujya Dongreji Maharaj. Many speakers have spoken in the same places that Bapuji spoke. I get a lot of bliss when I find this out. They tell me that he stayed in this room and tears come out of my eyes when I actually visit the same rooms where he stayed. And those people show me everything in their houses, that Babji used to look out this window because he wanted to get the divine vision of cows wherever he stayed. Therefore, these people would bring cows in nearby surroundings. So Buddhaji Dongreji Maharaj would look outside the window and see cows in the morning. Mm. First, he would worship cows. Then he would look at the faces of human beings. And he had that much love for cows. So there's a mode of this purity in cows. Whenever I go to a goshala, which is where cows reside, I like the smell of it very much. Wherever I go, be it Hermitage, and people tell me there's a goshala there, I go there first. If someone has a farmhouse, they say, we keep cows here, I tell them, show me your bungalow afterwards. First, show me the goshala.
Indeed, yes, yes. I've done similarly as well, which I mentioned earlier.
Log on to iglobalnews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians. iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iglobalnews.com.
The myth actually imagines a transition from hunting wild cattle to preserving their lives through and demonstrating or domesticating them, rather, that breeding them for milk, a transition to agriculture and pastoral life. So the visualization is that the cow as the paradigmatic animal that yields food without being killed, which is what this is really all about, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly right. There's so much spirituality behind the cow, and it's just like with our mothers up until a certain age, up to the age of three, before enzymes couldn't break down the milk particles, the mother would give us milk. But after the age of three, it's cows that start giving us milk, and that's why that connection with the animal was there. And a cow is a symbol of humanitarianism. And if I go into a deeper meaning, then cows are the symbol of the feeling of the family. In the family where the service of cows is being done, oneness, mutual caring, and feelings will be maintained in the family. We've considered cows as a symbol of the family lineage. If there's service of cows in the family, then the children of the family become very cultured. And if you study the history of society 35 or 40 years ago, you'll feel this. During that time, in a typical family in the villages, there'll be a joint family, and there'll be cows, and they'll be looked after. There'll be farmers in the family. And because of service to cows, that oneness remains in the family. If a couple are not able to produce children, and then there's sometimes Gopal mantra, and by performing worship of that mantra to the cow, people have attained children. Why has the word Gopal been placed in the in relation to progeny? It's because service of cows is linked with having children. And there's a clear description in the scripture, Srimad Bhagavat, where Nanda Baba gives credit several times that Shri Krishna came to my house as my son because I serve cows. He said that if I were to attain children through my efforts, then this would have happened at a very young age. It was not my efforts. It was not my destiny. It was only my service of cows. All the people who came to congratulate Nanda Baba said, it's because I serve cows that Lalan Shri Krishna has come to my house. So cows should definitely be saved.
What's incredible is that there's a lot of houses that you see around the world, and particularly in India, where people have plaques or pictures of cows above their door, above their front door. And the cows happen to be decorated in, or not decorated, but adorned with garments and various things and garlands to make them look even better and attractive to the eye. So there's a real significance behind that, isn't there, Drew?
Yeah, absolutely. The sacredness of the cows, because you have all the deities residing in the cows. And just when you look at the cow, as you said, Tony, whenever you went to feed the cows,
yes,
it's so calming, it's so peaceful. And the symbolism.
Actually, it was. Yes, yeah. On all the occasions I've been, it really was. There was something different about it, which I can't quite fathom, really. And I can't, comprehend entirely. But you're absolutely right.
Yes, that's right. There's a lot of these well-being organizations in the West that are doing cow feeding sessions for mental health and so on. It's just the presence of the cows when you're there, you're feeding them, you're in their company. It puts you into a very meditative state. But it's obviously that the fact that all the deities reside in the cow make it a worshipful animal, definitely.
Log on to iglobalnews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
We are talking to Dhruvachitralia today, and we're talking about Gauraksha, the worship of cows in Indian culture. And finally then, Dhruv, my question to you today is this, that what is the significance of cow dung and cow urine? And I know you touched on this briefly earlier in our discussion, but let's go into a bit more detail about this.
Yeah, so I read about an event many years ago. A person died in Kashi, which is known as Banaras as well. His body was taken to Manikarnika's Ghat. It was a very young man. And when his fire cremation ceremony was starting, a saint knowledge in Ayurveda saw this person and asked everyone, how did this young person die? The person performing the fire cremation ceremony said, great yogi, a saint bit him. The great saint touched him in two areas, saw and said that this person hasn't died. They said that the doctor's given us a certificate that the person's died. The poisonous snake bit him and he died. Mm. The great saint said, if you want to listen to me, then don't give him this fire ceremony for 30 minutes. Bring me some cow's feces. These people brought back some cow's feces and the great saint applied the cow dung throughout this person's entire body. So 30 minutes later, he had applied the cow's feces throughout the body. Within 1 hour, that person began moving slowly and opened his eyes, and people were surprised. And this was printed in the newspaper that they become startled. How can this happen? And medical doctors said that an extremely poisonous snake had bitten him, and this person was medically dead. The great saint said, I understand that when this person is bitten by a poisonous snake, then why doctors say this person has died? In reality, this person's brain went into a coma. So the whole activity of the body had come to a standstill. Therefore, it's possible that doctors will say his heart is not running, his blood circulation is not running, and therefore he's died. But after applying the cow's feces, the poison from the snake becomes sucked out, and you can make the person alive again. When I read about that event, I thought that how many diseases could be cured by cow dung when people are declared dead by doctors could be brought back to life. This is because you
incredible,
meet such
incredible
people during these events. And what I mean to say, there's such power in cow's dung that there's also this power in cow's urine. So cow's dung is used as a fertilizer as well. If one uses chemical fertilizer, then after using it for 10 to 20 years, the fertility of the land becomes finished. The land becomes ruined. And thousands of land abroad have been ruined by this. And these people are ordering ships full of cow's dung. We in India export cow dung. If you read in newspapers, you'll know that containers and containers of cow dung are being exported.
Yes.
So entire ships are filled. So hundreds and thousands of tons of cow dung are being exported. We export so much cow dung, and yet we import in India chemical fertilizer. There's nobody in the world as stupid as us. We import expensive chemicals and export cow's dung that we get for free for prices next to nothing.
Yes.
And the people abroad understand because they've ruined their lands because of chemical fertilizers.
Yes.
And cow dung increases the lifespan of the land. And they know this. And therefore, the Gauraksha protection of cows is our duties. It's the duty of every person. And a very beautiful research has taken place recently. And I want to share something with you.
Mm.
It's been running in the Supreme Court of India for the last 10 to 12 years. It was about stopping cow slaughter in India and actually all over. On the one hand, there were these pure people who said that cow slaughter is a slop. And they said, of course, it's a very important religious sentiment, but it's not just a religious issue. It's not about Hindus, Muslims, and different religions. It's about the wealth of the country. I hate to name them, but the people on the other side, those people whose business it is to be butchers, who slaughter cows for business and who sell cow meat, cow skin, cow bones, and even the blood of cows, their argument was that it's their bread and butter, it's their business. They said, how can you stop our business? So that's the first thing they said. Second, it said that it's stated in their religion that they should do it. And thirdly, it said it's a source of foreign income for India. Even if the cow does not yield milk, the cow still gives cow dung and cow urine. From 1 kilogram of cow dung, you can get 16 kilogram to 18 kilogram of organic fertilizer. Now, you may wonder how from 1 kilogram of cow dung, you can get 16 kilogram to 18 kilogram of organic fertilizer. You may say that the ratio doesn't add up. It does add up. They proved and showed it works. The Supreme Court actually allotted land, and some cows are brought there in a form of an experiment. And this experiment was not just one or two times, but the experiment ran for 2 to 3 years. They showed that from each cow, you can get so much of organic fertilizer. And when that organic fertilizer is sold in the market, you get such an amount. So from 1 liter of cow's urine, you can make so many medicines. When I travel to America to give talks, then I tell the audience that America imports cow urine from India. Some of it's for medicine for cancer. Mm. Some of it's for medicine for AIDS. Some of it's for other illnesses. So America imports cow's urine from India. And in particular, they ask for the urine of Indian cows. There's so many cows in America, but the Jersey cows in America don't have such qualities that the urine that the Indian cows have. Quality in the urine and medicines can be made out of it. So from cow urine and cow dung, you can earn 30,000 to 35,000 rupees every month. This is only from cow urine and cow dung. How much is that per year? An average lifespan of cows is 20 years. Each cow in their lifetime brings hundreds or thousands of rupees even after stopping milking. And the cow keeps giving even after this and economic development. So the bottom line is that the word Krishnim used in the Sri Suktam of the goddess Lakshmi shows that there's so much wealth in cow dung, including medicinal qualities, fertilizer, and many other things. Cows are like the mothers, and a mother can never be a burden to its children. If a mother only stays inside the house, then a smiling face and two words of a blessings is a lot for children. Can a mother ever become a burden? It's a shame on those people who can't even respect their mother and cannot serve their mother. These people cannot serve their mothers in the form of human beings. So how can they serve the cow? A mother can never be a burden. This is the word Krishnim. And the rishis say that the goddess Lakshmi abounds in cow dung. Look how far the perspectives of the rishis were. If they went to somebody's place and they saw cow dung lying in someone's field, then the rishis seeing that would say that this is a resting place of the goddess Lakshmi if right use is made of it. And that's Krishnim. So that's my long explanation of it, Tony.
and an excellent explanation at that. As always, so much to take away from the wonderful insights that you share with us through.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.
Through Chitrale BEM, we spoke today about Gaurakshan, the worship of cows in Indian culture. Now, through the organizations that you are involved in, and people want to find out more about what you do, and they may want to get involved in the various talks that you do and even watch some of the great talks that you give as well, how can they become part of that?
Thank you so much, Tony. So our organization, SHARM, is based all around the world, but our website is www.gitaclass.org, GitaClass.org, and you can find over 225 hours of lectures on the Bhagavad Gita, Hanuman Chalisa, about the symbolism of cows and many other spiritual topics. And we also have 34 WhatsApp groups where you can receive the daily teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures. And if you just message your full name to our organization number to +44 7904 720 516, no matter what country you're from, we'll add you to one of those groups and would be delighted to have you on board. And thank you so much, Tony. Absolutely delighted to join you once again.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.